Welcome back to the UAP Research Deep Dive with UAP Caucus. Today, we're diving into a research paper that's been generating a lot of buzz.
Well, yeah.
It's called A Forensic Analysis of Navy Carrier Strike Group 11's Encounter with an Anomalous Aerial Vehicle.
I've heard of that one.
It digs deep into a 2004 incident.
Yeah.
Involving the USS Nimitz Carrier Group and some really strange radar and visual sightings. Off the coast of Southern California, we're talking multiple Navy personnel.
Wow.
Including seasoned pilots and radar operators who witnessed these events. What's interesting about this paper is its approach. It analyzes testimonies, official Navy documents, and that now infamous video from an FA-18F jet to help us unpack the science behind this case. And what makes it so compelling, we have with us expert speaker.
Thanks for having me. It is a fascinating case. What grabs you right away is the amount of data the researchers had to work with. They weren't relying on a single blurry video or a handful of anecdotal accounts. We're talking multiple radar systems, pilot testimonies, and even the technical specs of the equipment used. This allows for a much more rigorous analysis than we typically see in UAP studies.
You've hit on something really important, the scientific rigor. For our listeners who may not be familiar with the intricacies of radar or G-forces, Can you set the stage? What were the USS Nimitz and its strike group doing out there in November 2004 when all this started?
They were conducting routine training exercises off the coast of Southern California, nothing out of the ordinary. But then over several days, things took a strange turn. The USS Princeton was equipped with the SPY-1 radar, one of the most sophisticated radar systems in the world, started picking up multiple unidentified objects. These were eventually dubbed anomalous aerial vehicles, or AAVs.
So not just blips on a screen, right? The paper goes into some detail about the behavior of these AAVs. What made them so anomalous?
Imagine this. The Princeton's radar is tracking these objects, descending from altitudes above 80,000 feet, practically the edge of space, down to just above the ocean surface. And we're not talking about a gradual descent. They were making this drop in a matter of seconds.
That's incredible. Just to put that in perspective for our listeners, imagine dropping from the cruising altitude of a commercial airliner to nearly sea level in the blink of an eye. What's really fascinating and crucial to the scientific validity of this case is that the USS Nimitz itself and an E-2 Hawkeye, an airborne early warning aircraft with its own powerful radar system, also picked up these AAVs.
Yeah, this is a crucial point. Having multiple independent confirmations from highly sophisticated radar systems significantly minimizes the chances of this being a glitch or equipment malfunction. We're talking about three separate technologically advanced systems, all detecting the same unusual phenomena. That gets your attention.
Absolutely. So We have this compelling radar data, but it's not just about the technology. We also have the human element, the pilots who were sent to investigate these radar contacts. This is where the story really starts to capture the imagination. Two FA-18F fighter jets, call signs Fast Eagle 01 and Fast Eagle 02, piloted by Commander David Fravor and Lieutenant Commander Jim Slate, were directed to check out what was going on. What did they find?
What they encountered was unlike anything they'd ever seen. They arrived at the location indicated by the radar and observed a disturbance on the ocean surface, as if something was churning the water below. And hovering above this disturbance was a white, oblong object described as being tic-tac-shaped.
Okay, hold on. Tic-tac-shaped, that's vivid imagery. I'm picturing a giant mint flying around. Can you elaborate on that description?
Well, that's the term Commander Fravor used in his testimony, and it's stuck ever since. It speaks to how bizarre this object appeared. Picture a large, white, capsule-like object, about 40, 60 feet long, with no visible wings, no tail, no exhaust plumes, nothing that would resemble conventional aircraft features, just a smooth, white, oblong shape hovering above the water.
Not your typical Tuesday for a fighter pilot, I'd imagine. And this tic-tac didn't just sit there passively, did it?
No, it didn't. This is where the encounter becomes even more strange and scientifically intriguing. As Commander Fravor descended to get a closer look, the tic-tac mirrored his movements. Seemingly reacting to his maneuvers, it was as if it was aware of his presence and intentions.
That must have been a nerve-wracking experience for the pilot, to have this thing seemingly responding to his actions.
You can imagine the adrenaline pumping in that cockpit, but here's where it gets really interesting. The tic-tac then accelerated rapidly, disappearing from Fravor's sight. In just a second or two, we're talking about speeds and maneuvers that are simply beyond the capabilities of any known aircraft.
So we have visual confirmation from highly trained pilots, corroborated by multiple radar contacts, all pointing to something truly unusual happening. This is where the research paper really starts to get into the nitty-gritty. The forensic analysis of this encounter, they use three independent sets of data, to try and understand the object's speed and acceleration, the radar tracking data, the pilot testimonies, and calculations based on that video taken by a second pair of FA-18s that were launched later.
That's right. And the paper is very methodical in its approach. It doesn't just throw out numbers and pronouncements. It lays out the methodology for each analysis, walking the reader through the steps they took to arrive at their conclusions. This transparency is incredibly important for scientific credibility.
And what were the findings from these initial analyses of the radar data and pilot testimonies? Could they actually calculate the speed and acceleration of this thing?
They could. And the results are, to put it mildly, astonishing. All three methods, independently of each other, pointed to extremely high acceleration values. We're talking a minimum of 40 G-forces, with some calculations suggesting hundreds or even thousands of G-forces.
Wait, hold on. 40 G-forces. I know this is a deep dive, but for our listeners who might not be fire pilots, can we break that down a bit?
Of course. Think of it this way. One G-force is the force of gravity we experience every day, just standing here on Earth. Fighter pilots, with specialized training and equipment, can withstand about 9 G-forces. For short periods, that's 9 times the force of gravity, crushing down on them. Now imagine hundreds, or even thousands, of times that force. It's mind-boggling, and would completely destroy any conventional aircraft.
That's incredible. And this is why this paper is causing such a stir. We're not talking about something slightly outperforming conventional aircraft. These are performance characteristics that defy our current understanding of physics. It's like comparing a horse-drawn carriage to a supersonic jet.
That's a great analogy. And it's important to emphasize that these aren't just ballpark figures. The researchers are using established scientific methods, taking into account margins of error, limitations of the equipment, even the physiology of human perception. To arrive at these numbers, this is where the forensic aspect of the paper really shines. It's meticulous, it's detailed, it's grounded in data.
So we've got this incredible convergence of data from different sources, all pointing to something truly anomalous. Before we go any further, I want to highlight something that's often overlooked in discussions about UAPs. It's easy to get caught up in the wow factor of the technology and the mystery of it all, but it's crucial to remember that at the heart of this are human beings, the pilots, the radar operators, the analysts who pored over this data. These are professionals, highly trained and skilled in their fields, who were genuinely baffled by what they witnessed. Their testimonies aren't just about describing an object. They're conveying a sense of awe, confusion, and even a bit of fear that adds another layer of complexity to this entire case.
Absolutely. This case is as much about human perception and the limits of our understanding as it is about the technology or the potential origins of these objects.
Okay, let's move on to that infamous video. It's been analyzed countless times over the years. What makes the analysis in this research paper stand out? What new insights do they uncover?
This paper goes beyond simply analyzing the movement of the object in the video. It takes into account the limitations of the ATF-LIR camera system used to capture the footage, using the known field of view, zoom capabilities, and resolution of the camera. They were able to calculate the distance and speed of the object. With a high degree of accuracy, they essentially turned the video into a scientific instrument.
So they're not just looking at blurry pixels and making guesses. They're using the technical specifications of the camera itself to derive concrete measurements. That's clever. And what did they find? Did the video analysis support the findings from the radar data and pilot testimonies?
Absolutely. The calculations derived from the video analysis aligned perfectly with the findings from the radar data and pilot testimonies. Again, we're seeing those incredible acceleration values far beyond the capabilities of any known aircraft or missile. And remember, it's not just about speed, it's about the ability to accelerate and change direction instantaneously without any visible means of propulsion.
It sounds like this paper is building a very strong case for something truly extraordinary happening. During that 2004 incident, before we delve deeper into the analysis and its implications, let's take a moment to hear from our sponsors. We'll be back in a flash to continue this deep dive into the USS Nimitz encounter.
Sounds good.
And we're back, continuing our deep dive into the 2004 USS Nimitz encounter with the help of expert speaker. Before we left off, we were talking about the multiple layers of evidence, all pointing to something truly anomalous. And now this research paper tackles the analysis with impressive scientific rigor.
You know, one thing that really stood out to me was how the researchers addressed potential counterarguments. They anticipated the skepticism that often surrounds UAP reports and tackled those concerns head on.
I think that's a sign of a strong scientific study. You're not just presenting your findings. You're acknowledging the potential for error or alternative explanations. and addressing them directly. What were some of the counterarguments they explored?
Well, one obvious question is, could this have been a case of mistaken identity? Could the pilots have misidentified a conventional aircraft or a weather phenomenon? The paper goes into great detail about the visual sightings, using the pilots' descriptions, and the known limitations of human visual acuity to calculate the speed and acceleration of the object. They even factored in things like the size of the object and the distance at which it would no longer be visible to the human eye.
So they're essentially saying, even if we assume the pilots could have misidentified something, the observed movements still require insane levels of acceleration that are far beyond the capabilities of any known aircraft.
Exactly. They're using the science of human perception to bolster their argument. Mm-hmm. And they go even further, addressing the possibility of equipment malfunction. They meticulously detail the radar systems used by the Navy, explaining how they work, the checks and balances in place to ensure accuracy, and why the possibility of false readings or equipment malfunction is extremely low, especially given that multiple systems on different ships and aircraft detected the AAVs.
It's not just saying, trust us, the radar worked. They're providing the listener with a deeper understanding of the technology itself. You mentioned the SPY-1 radar system earlier. Can you elaborate on why that's so significant?
The SPY-1 radar system, which was on the USS Princeton, is a beast. It's a highly sophisticated, multifunction phased array radar designed to track hundreds of targets simultaneously. It's the backbone of the Navy's Aegis combat system and is renowned for its accuracy and reliability. This wasn't some off-the-shelf, consumer-grade radar picking up stray signals. This was military-grade, battle-tested system designed to distinguish real threats from noise.
So when the SPY-1 picks something up, the Navy takes notice.
Right.
And to have the Nimitz and the E-2 Hawkeye, which also has advanced radar capabilities, corroborating those readings, that eliminates a single point of failure argument right there. It strengthens the case for a real unidentified object.
Precisely. And then you have the pilot testimonies, not from just one pilot, but multiple pilots, all highly trained and experienced, describing very similar observations. The researchers also did something quite interesting in the paper. They didn't just focus on the data and the technology. They emphasized the credibility of the witnesses.
That's right. And they didn't just say, these are Navy pilots, so they must be reliable. They actually included background information on each witness, their ranks, their expertise, the number of flight hours they had. It's like they're saying, look, these are not just some random folks who saw some lights in the sky. These are professionals with years of experience operating sophisticated equipment and making split-second decisions under pressure. Their testimonies carry weight.
Yeah, and there's another detail in the paper that I found particularly intriguing. While much of the public attention has focused on the visual encounter with the Tic Tac, the radar data actually reveals something even more perplexing.
Ooh, do tell.
The initial radar contacts, the ones that prompted the investigation in the first place, didn't involve just a single object. They involved swarms of these AAVs, sometimes in groups of 8 to 20.
That's right. I'd almost forgotten about that detail. The initial radar contacts were the real head-scratcher, not just one Tic Tac, but multiple AAVs exhibiting these incredible speeds and maneuvers. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it raises so many questions. Were they all the same type of object? How were they communicating or coordinating their movements? Were they operating independently? Or was there some kind of central control? The paper calls for the release of the full radar logs, and I think that would be incredibly valuable. It could reveal patterns in their behavior, maybe even clues about their origin or purpose.
Okay, we're getting into some truly mind-bending territory here. Swarms of unidentified objects, exhibiting technology that seems to defy our current understanding of physics. It's enough to make your head spin. But I want to bring us back to the scientific approach for a moment. You mentioned earlier that the researchers calculated the power output required for the Tic Tac to perform those maneuvers. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. To give you a sense of scale, they assumed a conservative weight of 1 ton for the object, which, considering its estimated size, is probably a low estimate. Even with that conservative weight, the calculated power output is staggering. We're talking gigawatts, equivalent to the output of multiple large power stations.
Gigawatts. That's a lot of power. I'm trying to wrap my head around what kind of technology could generate that much energy, let alone harness it for propulsion.
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? The paper acknowledges that these figures might seem outlandish, but they emphasize that these are the results of applying basic physics to the observed data. They're not claiming to know how this thing was generating that kind of power, but they're saying, based on the evidence, that it had to be generating that much power to move the way it did.
It's like trying to solve a puzzle, but you're missing half the pieces. And the pieces you do have don't seem to fit together in any way you understand.
That's a great way to put it. And that's what makes this research paper so valuable. It's not just presenting a bunch of anecdotal accounts or blurry videos. It's using a scientific approach with rigorous calculations and analysis to try to make sense of something truly extraordinary.
But even with this level of scientific rigor, there are still so many unanswered questions. Where do we go from here? What are the key takeaways from this research paper? And what does it mean for the field of UAP research? We'll discuss that and more when we come back after a quick break. Okay, and we are back, wrapping up our deep dive into the 2004 USS Nimitz encounter and this groundbreaking research paper that's brought this case back into the spotlight. We've covered a lot, from radar data and pilot testimonies to the mind-boggling physics involved in those observed maneuvers. But this case is about more than just data points and calculations. It raises fundamental questions about our understanding of technology, the nature of reality itself, and maybe even our place in the universe.
I think you know. What I find most compelling about this research paper is not just the analysis itself, but the call to action it puts forth. The researchers don't shy away from the implications of their findings. They acknowledge that this incident, and others like it, deserve serious scientific attention.
It's a call for transparency, for collaboration between the scientific community and the government. They're essentially saying, we've done our due diligence, we've analyzed the available data, and it's clear that there's something here that we don't understand.
Right, and they go a step further, recommending specific actions, like the release of more complete radar logs, communication records, and other data that could shed light on this incident. This is about pushing the boundaries of our knowledge and doing it with a level of rigor and intellectual honesty. That has often been lacking in UAP research.
It's like they're saying, we've laid the groundwork. We've shown that a scientific approach to this topic is possible. And now we need access to more information to continue the investigation. What specific questions do you think this additional data could help answer?
For me, it comes back to those swarms of AAVs detected on radar. The visual encounter with the Tic Tac is captivating, no doubt. But those initial radar contacts with multiple objects exhibiting those incredible flight characteristics are truly mind-boggling. Analyzing the full radar logs could reveal patterns in their movements, their formations, how they interacted with each other, and perhaps even how they interacted with the Navy ships and aircraft.
Like trying to understand the behavior of a flock of birds. You can observe individual birds, but to truly grasp their movements and interactions, you need to study the flock as a whole over time.
That's a great analogy. And with UAPs, we're dealing with a phenomenon that seems to operate outside our current understanding of physics. It's like studying a species of bird that can teleport or fly through walls. We need all the data we can get to even begin to make sense of it.
We've touched on some pretty profound implications throughout this deep dive. If these objects with their seemingly impossible capabilities are indeed of non-human origin, well, that opens up a whole new can of worms, doesn't it?
It does. And I think it's a possibility we need to take seriously, not with fear or paranoia, but with a sense of scientific curiosity and a willingness to expand our understanding of the universe. If we're truly alone in this vast cosmos, that's fascinating in its own right. But if we're not, oh, that changes everything.
It challenges our assumptions about our place in the universe, about the nature of technology, about the very definition of what's possible. It's both exciting and terrifying at the same time.
I think it's important to remember that fear often stems from the unknown. The more we learn, the more we understand, the less we have to fear. This research paper is a step in that direction. It's a beacon of scientific inquiry, shining a light into the darkness.
Well said. This 2004 incident involving the USS Nimitz continues to be a pivotal case in UAP research. It's a case that demands further investigation, a case that challenges us to push the boundaries of our knowledge and our imagination.
And this research paper, with its meticulous analysis and its bold conclusions, is a catalyst for that much-needed push. It's a reminder that the pursuit of knowledge, the quest to understand the universe and our place within it, is one of the most fundamental human endeavors.
We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, but there's always more to explore. We encourage you, our listeners, to seek out the research paper, delve into the data yourself, and draw your own conclusions. Keep asking questions. Keep exploring. Keep that sense of wonder alive. And who knows, maybe someday those unanswered questions will lead us to a deeper understanding, not just of UAPs, but of ourselves and our place in the grand scheme of things.
We can only hope.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll see you next time for another fascinating exploration. of the unexplained.